Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, real business owners? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast with Trevor Calley and myself, Kel Goodman. Yeah. Guys, today's episode is number 89, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we believe, okay? You know, like in all reality, I mean, it could work for some people. In our experience, we believe there's certain things you should and should not outsource in your company. We think that there's things you should keep in-house. We think that there's power to that. And so we want to talk about some of the things that we've experienced in our business. Some of these conversations have just come up with other groups and people we've worked with. And we want to talk about what we believe is more effective to keep in-house, what you should outsource, what you shouldn't, and where we think you'll be dollars ahead, right?
Yeah, in the long term. But real quick, that intro that you guys just listened to, I know you guys think that that's fire. I've listened to it like 10 different times, just the intro. Yeah, I like it. I start it back over because it sounds so cool.
It just launched a couple episodes ago, right?
It's launched at the beginning of the year. Makes us sound so cool. I love it.
I know.
So
these guys did a good job on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, guys, we want to talk about, you know, Kel was on Clubhouse. Somebody had a question about outsourcing some things in terms of sales. He's looking for a company that he can get the leads to and they do the sales for him. Mm-hmm. And Kel hopped in and said, you know, I really just don't think that that's a good idea. There's certain things that you should keep in-house that you have full control over and certain things that it's okay to outsource, right? And so we want to talk to you guys about some of the things that we think that you'll be money ahead in 3 to 5 years if you bring in-house or you figure out on your own versus outsourcing it.
Yeah, well, dude, honestly, that guy is also an accountant. Okay. He's an accounting company. And there was three of us in there that were accounting company owners, right? Mm. And this guy's like, dude, I'm an accountant. Like, I can close people because I've got the knowledge, right? But how can I get other people to close the knowledge? I can't keep doing sales and keep being the accountant. I can't wear all the hats. And I'm like, dude, I totally get that. But you can build a team inside, internally, a sales team. And there's a lot of power to that because a lot of these outsourced sales companies, I'm not going to say they're all bad because I haven't used all of them or heard about all of them. But, dude, like, I think long term, you're going to leave a lot of money on the table by not having it in-house. Like, sales is a huge part of the culture of a whole organization.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's a big part of ours.
It is. It is. Yeah. And so I told my dude, it is possible. And he's like, well, dude, how are you going to train sales guys to, you know, have all the knowledge that accountants have? I'm like, they don't need to have all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. They're coming to you because you are an accountant. They don't want to do accounting. They don't know shit about accounting. So all you need to know is train your sales guys enough to overcome the obstacles, help them solve the pain points that they have in their accounting. And that's all you're going to do anyway if you outsource it. Well, the people you hire aren't going to be accountants either, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a matter of just understanding what the pain points of entrepreneurs are.
Yeah.
Right. And we understand that because we're business owners and we've dealt with bad CPAs and bad accounting. Right. Yeah. And so we've felt that pain before and we understand where the industry is lacking. So we built our marketing and our sales presentation around what's lacking in the industry. Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't necessarily have to go into all the details like you're doing a tax plan on a sales call and go do all the ins and outs. You can obviously gather some information, but the real pain point in terms of accounting is, you know, they're upset that they're not getting good communication with their current accountant or CPA. Mm-hmm. You know, they only reach out once a year and say, it's tax season, get me your stuff. And then they're just doing basic data entry and they're not really tax planning with people.
Right.
They're not helping them save money. Secondly is, you know, getting P&Ls. How many times when we outsourced did we ever see a P&L outside of requesting one? We never got one. Mm-hmm. Right. And so these accountants or CPAs don't really understand how important, obviously, understanding your numbers really is to the business owner. Right. Because if you think that you're losing $5,000 or $10,000 a month in business when you're starting out, it's one thing thinking it, but it's another thing actually seeing it on paper. Like, holy shit, I'm losing $10,898 a month.
Right.
That stares at you and it hits home a little bit harder than just thinking that you may be losing out on a little bit of money. having those numbers presented to you can help you analyze the data and help make better business decisions, right?
100%.
And so those are the two things that I really saw that was lacking in the industry. And so when we're talking about working with somebody, I'm like, here's our story. Here's what we've gone through, and here's why we created Easier Accounting, and here's the issues that we're trying to solve in the industry. Not necessarily going into the fine details of, hey, this is exactly how we do book. Like, nobody cares.
Me, bro. You just sold me, and you didn't tell me anything. Really, I didn't tell accounting. You anything. You just talked about solving my problem.
I understand your problem, right, and I can help you fix it. Well, that's really what it comes down to in sales, right?
Exactly. And here's the thing I told that guy, man. I was like, listen, dude, what's one of the number one problems you're going to have in sales, right? And, you know,
even if he outsources, like, the outsource salespeople know a lot about accounting anyway. I know,
dude. And let's see, dude, they're working for commission, man. Yeah. So, like, it's taken us quite a while, okay, to really fine-tune our sales team to sell ethically, morally, and bought in on the mission of the company for the greater good. How can you do that with an outsourced sales team?
They'll say or
that
do whatever.
You don't even know. Yeah, they'll say they don't or do give whatever. A shit. Dude, they just want that commission.
Yeah,
and they don't care if that customer charges back on you later on, right? So I feel like that's what you miss when you outsource something like that. Plus, how can you really scale? Like, is that company going to be able to scale with you? Because they're not in your organization. They don't know your organization.
Yeah.
And when you scale, sales is one of the biggest things that you've got to scale with, right? Mm-hmm. Sales and marketing and fulfillment, right? Those are the things that you kind of simultaneously have to scale. So if that team is outsourced, it's like, how are you really?
How are you on the same page as them?
Yeah, how are you
going to
be on the same page? So, you know, and dude, he actually really thanked me for that, you know, just my insight on that, because there's a lot of challenges that you've got to look at if you're going to outsource sales. I think personally that we've come a long way because we've always kept that in-house, which is easier for us because we came from being sales guys, you know. But dude, whether I'm a sales guy or not, like, looking back, if I tried to outsource sales, I really think that my ceiling would be much, much lower. Like, I think we would be way, you might be money ahead initially in the very beginning, but you're going to be money behind in the long
term.
And you won't even know. There's nothing to measure it against, because it's not like you can really build a sales team internally and outsourced at the same time to really gauge that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of that's just my opinion, but I think it's pretty valid.
I would also say just having more bodies in your organization and being around the office and having the energy of a salesperson that's closing deals, it's going to add to the culture. It's going to add to the vibration of the office, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you own an accounting firm like this individual did, it's probably a pretty quiet environment, very just, you know, like, not energetic or enthusiastic, and bringing a sales piece into it can add to the culture. Having the energy and enthusiasm in your company that you're really growing and building something. And secondly, the people that work for that individual, the other accountants or CPAs, can say, holy cow, he's committed to growing this business.
Yeah.
And they're seeing it on a day-to-day basis, and it's going to make them want to perform at a better level too, because they're seeing the owner committing to growth internally, right?
Totally.
I think that there's subconscious things that will happen even with the other employees bringing people in-house and having new energy inserted into that business or into that environment.
Right? I totally agree, man. And like, I don't know what you think about this. I want your opinion. But like, right now, our whole country, the whole world is kind of moving to this outsourced model, right? Mm. Where even if they are internally and work for you, but they're working remotely. They're trying to run teams through Zoom and remote. A lot of it's because of the COVID stuff. Some companies are seeing that it is still productive. Some people are, like, man, I think there's still a lot of power in that old school, you know, the whiteboard. You got a team all together in a big room. One guy's writing deals up, makes the other guy competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's, you know, I think there's a lot of power in that all working together. That's like a human touch. I don't think that you'll ever really be able to fully replace. Like, yes, you can create remote sales teams.
Yeah.
I actually know some companies that were really successful doing that, but would they have been more successful if they had sales teams working internally? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know, with the whole culture moving there, what do you think, man? Like, you think it's gonna be less powerful or more powerful to do in-house versus remote? Not even outsourced, but remote.
To me, how I look at it is, you should be the outlier. If everybody else is moving in that direction, maybe there's power in being the one that's standing out and doing it a little bit different, right? Yeah. And I honestly think that you could oversee the quality in terms of the conversations that are happening internally versus externally.
Yeah.
I think we're getting so caught up in, you know, outsource. Everything's being outsourced and all you're focusing on is just day-to-day operations of your business. But how much power do you really have if you continue just to outsource, mm-hmm. right? And so you should be controlling as much as you possibly can control. I get that there's pieces that need to be outsourced. You know, we talked about a couple prior to hopping on. Obviously, accounting, you know, that's one that, you know, can be outsourced. Easier accounting. virtual assistants. You know, I don't think that that's a bad thing if you need somebody to answer emails, run, schedule appointments, things like that. And you can get virtual assistants pretty cheap in the Philippines. And again, they're not going to be forward facing and doing a lot of communicating to the people that, that you do business with, besides maybe behind the screen in terms of replying to emails or answering DMs or putting people on your calendar. Maybe they do some scheduling, right, through your email or whatever it is. There's power in virtual assistants to help you save a little bit of money, because you can get somebody in the Philippines that's a VA for, you know, $5 an hour, right? And so you're talking about, you know, $5 an hour, it's pretty darn cheap to spend $200 to $300 a month to have somebody that has the ability to do that.
Keep you organized, $200 a week. Sorry. I mean, time is money, right? So I believe in that for sure. I haven't got one yet.
Yeah, we need one. web development. I don't think that that's a bad thing to outsource. You know, getting podcast guests or getting on other people's podcasts, I don't think that that's a bad thing to outsource, right? Because you don't want to have to sit there and spend your time just emailing every day, hey, I'd like to be on your podcast, if you're trying to get exposure to your podcast or to your business.
HR. Almost like a VA role, kind of.
HR is a good thing. Legal, anything in terms of agreements with your business and between you and the client. CRMs, you know, aren't a bad thing to outsource. We built a custom CRM so that we have full control over our systems and processes so that it flows well with the way that we do things. But you need to understand, we made that type of a decision. So the CRM thing can go either way, right? Because most CRMs, they charge per user. And so, yes, it's effective when you only have maybe 1, 3, 5 employees or whatever, and you can pay the per user fee. But when you started getting to the size of us and you had 30 different employees needing to use that CRM and you're paying each for each user, right, it can start adding up. And it's like, well, is it better off that we just spend $50,000 or whatever it is and build our own CRM that matches what we currently do, and then we don't necessarily have to pay per user ongoing forever, and we can scale however big we want, right? And that's a money ahead, let's say net 5 years, 10 years, right? Are we money ahead immediately by putting $50,000 out there to build it? No, we're actually money behind immediately, but long-term we'll be money ahead. And that's what Kel's talking about in terms of bringing sales internally rather than externally. Last but not least, you know, I guess it's not last, but there's the marketing piece. We've talked a lot about marketing. The last episode was about personal branding, which is, again, a piece of marketing towards your business, right? If more people know who you are, the more people will know about your business so that you can earn more customers, right? But there's other ways of obviously marketing, whether it's, you know, Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, you can do LinkedIn. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do the marketing thing. And we tried it. You know, we've outsourced, I don't even know, probably a dozen times to, you know, many different people. You know, we've even hired Grant Cardone's marketing team and spent $40,000 with them. And let's just say they weren't the best.
We ate a shit burger.
Yeah, we ate a shit burger. Yeah. That's a better way to put it, right? Yeah. We would have been better off taking that $40,000 and just spending it ourselves, not even knowing what we're doing. I could have gave it to, you know, my 11-year-old daughter, and she probably could have got as many clients as we retained off of that $40,000, right?
And so true. And so that's one area we definitely are coming from experience.
Super experienced.
You know, sales, not so much, because we've always been internally, and we haven't seen both sides of that. But But yeah, marketing.
Marketing's a big one.
Marketing is like, it's not sales, but it is. I mean, obviously
they go hand in hand.
You got to have sales to make the marketing work, but you got to have the marketing to even have the leads to make the sales, right? And so I feel like there's a pattern. Like, dude, the programmers, the legal, the accounting, like these aren't people that are like really culture adders. I would say, like,
yeah, if you bring an accountant in house to your business, are they going to add energy?
Dude, they like sitting in front of a freaking computer all day long, and programmers do too. You know, they like being in their own little bubble. That's their personality type, and that's totally fine. But man, when you outsource something like marketing and sales, like you're taking a lot of the best energy and you're outsourcing it, right? And so I feel like it depends on what your goals are, what you're trying to build as a company.
That's true.
Man, I think you're right. Like you're so much more money ahead by figuring those things out internally.
Well, tell them about the story in Vegas when you were gambling and Billy Jean.
Yeah.
Which again, we talked about him last time. I don't mean to talk about the same people over and over, but he owns a marketing company. Billy Jean is marketing, and he's done very, very well for himself. And Kel met him, and they were gambling with each other in Vegas, not more than maybe 2 years ago or something like that.
Well,
right
it was
around
the
then,
first 10X event in Vegas. So
it was two or three years ago, maybe three.
Yeah, it was a few. You know? But and I got a lot of respect for him, dude, because you know I didn't even know I was just gambling at the high roller table, guys. So
big dog over. You know,
I do like to. If I do gamble, I like to gamble. I'll be in and out quick, right? Like if I'm going to gamble, if I lose a wad of cash real quick, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to gamble the rest of the time. But I'm going to play the high roller table because, like, time is money. I don't want to sit there and bet $5 for 5 hours, right? So I'll go to the high roller table, $100 hand minimum, whatever. I'll gamble for 20, 30 minutes. If I'm on a run, I'll stay there for a little bit.
Yeah.
I like leaving with money if I'm going to gamble, right?
Yeah.
If I'm losing, I want to get out of there quick and not lose a bunch of money either. So, but anyway, I go to the high roller table and 10X was there, right? So there's a lot of guys gambling a lot of tables.
Yeah.
I happen to sit next to Billy Jean and I didn't know it was him at first. And I'm looking at him. And I'm like, dude, you're the guy that just did that video of like the Wolf of Wall Street kind of play. And he's like, yeah, man. Yeah, Billy Jean is marketing. And I'm like, dude, I love your stuff, man. That's cool. I was like, bro, Grant Cardone's dudes are hustling me right now to try and get a sign a contract with them on our marketing. And what do you think, man? Do you think they're legit or should I go with someone like you? I was straight up just giving this guy an opportunity to close me.
Yeah.
Right? Because like that was one of the things I kind of went down there for. I mean, I went down there to network. Like we do at a lot of events that we go to because we know guys that are there. We know a lot of people that are in that space. And so I was really going to network and seek out some marketing opportunities because, man, we wanted to get Easier Accounting rocking, man.
Yeah.
Like it was at that time where we were just like, man, we've got some stuff coming in, like some SEO
working.
How
do we blow it up?
Yeah, how do we blow it up? What's the next thing, right? And naturally, I mean, someone like Grant Cardone obviously converts a shit ton of leads for him, you know, but...
And that's really what kind of usually catches your attention.
Yeah.
If they're on your radar and you're like, well, they're on my radar, they obviously know what they're doing with marketing and he was on our radar because he's good with his personal branding or personal marketing. And so we just grandfathered him into, well, he must know exactly what he's doing or his team must know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, without him talking shit on Grant, because he's obviously there to speak at Grant's event and be a part of it and somehow.
Yeah.
So he's like, dude, I don't want to talk shit on Grant, bro. But he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. You shouldn't go with me and you shouldn't go with him. You should do this on your own. The time you spend figuring it out might seem like never ending right now in this first next, you know, six months or a year.
Yeah.
He's like, but dude, when you figure it out, you're going to be so much further ahead, dude. It's just a matter of figuring it out. And it's not as hard as you think, but you need to do it in-house if you want the best result. So that's what he told me. And I was like, damn, I remember calling you and being like, dude, Billy Jean says, don't do this Grant Cardone stuff, you know, even though it's super tempting. Well, we'd made the decision to just kind of do things in-house. Shortly after that, we went to a couple more events. We ended up hiring videographers.
Well, we did end up hiring them though, so we didn't listen.
So what happened?
And then we ate the shit burger.
Yeah.
So that 40 grand we could have used over the next 6 to 12 months to figure it out ourselves.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say is like, we have this experience of where we simultaneously we're figuring out in-house, we're working with our videographers, we're brainstorming every day, we're coming up with content, we're doing this thing, right? And then over here, we had our buddy Ryan that was like, dude, Grant Cardone's getting me a shit ton of leads. Well, that guy's in a totally different industry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's selling more like a, you know, make money from Amazon product.
Yeah.
That's a lot easier lead to generate than someone for accounting.
Yeah.
Like, it's more niche, right?
Yeah.
And so versus like everybody wants to make more money. You just
but
get
he
those
ended
clickers,
up getting
right?
frustrating too.
He did.
He got
dude.
Frustrated eventually as
but
well.
But he was happy with him left. At first. So we're like, well, maybe we yeah. should try him out and we should do both. Like, we'll keep figuring it out and we'll hire Grant for yeah. the 6 month contract. And
it was a 4 month.
Was it
10 grand a month?
Well, by the end of that 4 months, we were creating way more leads than they were creating,
mm-hmm.
and
with
our quality was way higher.
With way less money.
With way less money. And that's just a prime example, man, of like, same thing with sales. I really think it, dude. Like,
but we were trying to get the immediate need taken care of. Yeah. That's why people do it. They're mm-hmm. like, look, I have a business and I want to grow the business and I want to get my business profitable. I want to hire the experts to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're so much in the weeds and running and operating their business that they don't want to take the time to try to figure anything else out that's new. And I get that.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We ate a piece of that pie too.
It's the shortcut problem, man.
It is. We just wanted the results quick. We wanted the leads to come in because we were good at we had the sales part down. We had fulfillment down. It's like, okay, somebody get us leads. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking internally and trying to figure out how we could grow our business internally and how we can take ownership of that situation, we decided to spend money and put it on somebody else. And every time that we've done that, we've spent money with SEO companies, $5,000 a month for a year, and really nothing happens. And we're not SEO experts, so we can't really verify whether they did or didn't do the work. Because again, that's not our area, right?
Right.
But again,
it's an insecurity thing.
It's anytime there's something new and different that you have to try to adapt and adjust to, we kind of glitch out as human beings.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it works.
Right.
Our brain kind of has this like, nah, dude, that's not what you do.
Yeah,
you know, it tries
man.
To start set like, you know, what if this, what if it doesn't work and you waste a bunch of money? Da, da, da. Well, it only doesn't work if you quit trying, right? Whether it's 3 months you figured out, 6 months, or 1 year you figured out, eventually you're going to find what works for your business.
It only doesn't work until it does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you're trying new shit, you try all the wrong ones first, but the last thing that's left is usually what works. And then you end up kind of going through the process of elimination and finding it out, right? That's like putting a shovel into the ground and expecting gold on the first turn. It's just not going to happen. It's usually deep down. You got to work for it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to, because understanding your own marketing and taking control of that is like digging for gold, because once you find it, it's fucking payday, right? But you got to put in a little bit of sweat equity. You got to put in a little bit of work to kind of figure some of these things out. And you don't have to spend large amounts of money doing it. You could spend, you know, $1,000 a month or $500 a month just kind of messing with things, right? And just, again, you don't got to go balls deep in your own marketing and start spending 10 grand a month when you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
That's just stupid,
you
know? So beta test it, right? With a small amount of money, but not too small to where you're not giving it the opportunity to show really what it can do, because we've ran ads before in the first, you know, day or two, it didn't look like it was performing. And then all of a sudden it starts getting traction. Maybe people start sharing it. Maybe people start, you know, liking it more, where it puts it on other people's feed as well. Because if Kel likes it, I might see it because we're friends on Facebook, right? And so there can be a little bit of a snowball effect after, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. But you want to give it a sufficient enough time and sufficient enough money to really see whether that option is going to work for you. And again, let's be real here. Facebook and Instagram, I'll tell you this right now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to run an ad all, period.
Right.
And the reason that is because they want your money.
Mm-hmm.
If they built out a platform that was only user-friendly to experts, then they wouldn't be as big as they are. They're very user friendly. They dumb it down for idiots like myself and for Kel.
Which every
like, we're
successful
not
company does.
We're
right?
not marketing experts in any way, shape, or form. But at the same time, we can run ads. I mean, we generate 1,000 leads a week for our credit repair company.
Yeah.
We're not going to claim that we're, you know, experts at marketing and try to outsource ourselves and say hire us for marketing. That's just not what we're going to do. But we feel as though that you're going to be a lot of money in head when you figure it out yourself. And if you have to burn a year in order to control it for the next decade, that is going to be worth it. Could you imagine paying somebody for the next decade and they're making, you know, you're spending $5,000 a month and they're taking two off the top and they only put $3,000 towards ads, you're now spending $24,000 a year, you know, times 10 years. That's $250,000.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say, for instance, you just spent that $3,000 yourself and didn't pay them that extra two and you figured it out and it took you a year. You lost $36,000, but now you're saving $24,000 a year. In 2 years, it just paid for itself. And then your money ahead by year four. And so it's about forward thinking. It's about really what you want the ability to control long term in your business. Will your business be more valuable to a potential buyer if you have all your own marketing figured out? If you're running all your own ads, you're doing all your own sales, you're running your own fulfillment department. One thing that we like to control is as much as we possibly can in our business.
Exactly.
Yes, there's things that we do outsource, but over the last decade, we've outsourced less and less and less, and we've looked internally, like, how could we add this into our business to where it's something that we have the ability to control? Right now, we have an ad out for content writers, right? Right now, we're building out our marketing team. We have Corey that's been basically our marketing team, you know, well, one-man band.
There's a lot of power there because Corey's been right there with us for how many years now? Almost three?
Three.
So he knows our personality. Mm-hmm. He knows if he needs to write something, he needs to write it more like our personality. He knows if, like, he shoots a video or Austin shoots a video, like, what's going to be, like, our best moments to put out there and test, like, you know what I mean? So, like, him spending that time with us is obviously giving him an idea of, like, oh, you guys are trying to market to this avatar.
Yes.
You're trying to market to this type of client,
yeah.
A client like you guys. I'm like, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so the time that he spent with us, you can't replace that with an outsource company.
Yeah.
You just can't.
They see the vision, and then they also can get excited about where the company's going and the opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
If you're outsourcing it, you know, you're just one of many, right? Many clients that they have. And, you know, if they lose you, they lose you. They're going to want to try to keep you for as long as possible. And they're going to try to do a good job, of course. Like, I'm not going to say that they're not going to try to do a good job. You know, we know Eddie does a great job. He has that little sales course. He was on our podcast not long ago. He has a marketing course for $2,500.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can spend $2,500, go through a course.
And shortcut it by taking the time to learn it and figure it out.
From somebody who's good at what they do.
But
right?
Everybody thinks the shortcut is, oh, I'll just hire someone to do it because I'm not good at being on camera, or I'm not good at running ads, or I'm not good at sales. So they think, their insecurity, they're like, well, I'll just outsource it.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of being like, okay, well, what can I learn here to actually make it better? Like, why don't I get Eddie's course? Why don't I join a mastermind? I think there's a lot of power in that, right? Like, Ryan's never tried to sell us a program. Let me just do your marketing for you.
Yeah.
It's all about, dude, what can we do to improve it internally with you guys?
Here are some power moves that you can do to help grow your business.
You know who you should talk to is this guy. And he'll show you how to do these things. And then we connect with that guy. And he shows us some things like, oh, dude, now our ads just got even better.
Yeah.
Or our sales just got even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, or our web, you know, whatever.
You guys need to understand, we've pretty much tried everything when it comes to marketing.
It's so true.
Everything. You name it, we've tried it.
We did have some successful ads, too. Clear back the CBF days, dude, those first ads we built, and we'd never even taken a course. We were just so dialed and focused on wanting to make this thing work so bad that we were like, dude, how can we create our own leads instead of buying all these bunk ones?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so we were like, we thought that website was so shitty, but it converted. And when we built a prettier one, it didn't convert as good. Shitty one converted better.
Yeah. So,
uglier, not shittier.
It was shittier. You know, I was surprised people would fill it out. But again, you got to understand, you're not marketing to you. You're just marketing to the general public, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you got to let them speak. Look at the analytics. If it says that they like it, then they like it, you know? So to each their own. But look, we've tried the celebrity marketing thing. Like I said, we've tried Grant Cardone. It was garbage. You know, and again, I'm not here to talk shit or anything. I think he's done a lot of amazing things in business. He's a brilliant marketer in terms of how he's branded himself, and he's making
great
a lot of money. Good
guy.
For him. Yeah, there's areas that he's very strong. Marketing isn't one of them. So I'm just keeping it real, right?
Right. He's a great storyteller. But guess what, guys? He's telling his story. He's not telling your story.
Exactly.
So why are you going to hire him to tell your story?
Yeah,
because he's not going to. He's just going to tell his story.
Your story is best to be told by yourself, right?
Exactly.
Instead of a third party. We've hired Vayner Sports. And did business with Gary Vee and AJ Vaynerchuk. We hired one of their athletes to talk about Easier Accounting.
Yeah.
We've paid influencers to talk about us on stage.
Yeah.
We've ran Facebook ads. We've done Google ads. We've tried radio ads. We've set up booths at events and spent $5,000 for the booth. Like, What haven't we tried besides like sending fucking smoke signals in the air?
We've had
could
SEO
work.
Guys that we outsourced to never worked out.
Outsourced SEO people.
It's all led to good things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we got Corey in house.
And I'm glad that we tried everything because now we can sit back and say, we've tried it all.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have to have reservations about like, man, I wonder what would have happened if we actually would have hired Cardone. Or I wonder what would have happened if we hired Vayner Sports and got an athlete to talk about us. I wonder what would have happened if we paid influencers to talk about us on stage. Yeah. Or if we went to that event. We have the data now.
Yeah.
So we never have to do that again or make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Right? Getting smarter is about learning from the mistakes. And mistakes aren't necessarily a bad thing. You're going to make lots of them, but learn from it. Make the adjustment. This didn't work. Throw it away. Try the next thing. That didn't work. Yeah. Throw it away. And continue to put the pen to paper and figure it out. That's
And be willing, man. Be willing to put yourself out there too. Like so many people, I still hear it to this day. And I still feel uncomfortable doing it too. But like, oh, I'm not good on camera. These insecurities are what hold us back from actually trying some of these things, you know? But at some point, we were like, dude, let's just start our own podcast. Let's just jump on our own ads. Let's just film our own.
We tried it all.
Let's film our own videos.
Social media, podcast.
You know? I mean, and we screw up, and these guys edit it for us, and then we get better. And as we get better, everything gets better. More sales, more leads, everything comes in because we took it on ourselves. You know, we didn't think we could easily just created podcast ads to go like hit up Lewis Howes or something, and be like, hey, man, we'll pay you to run this podcast ad.
Yeah.
Or we could just start our own podcast and pay for marketing, get people to our podcast where we can give real value and identify with the customers that we want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's like.
Exactly.
It's taken us a long time to figure that out. So I feel like
that's why
the shortcut,
it's such a great topic, right? Is because we've taken a decade of trying everything and nothing has ever worked as well as bringing it in-house and doing our own marketing, doing our own sales, doing our own fulfillment. Yes, there's a few pieces that we still outsource. Like I said, we have our own CRM. We don't depend on anybody else for that, right? But look, this is a decade worth of experience talking of what worked and what didn't work for us. And all we're trying to do is give you guys the game, tell you, like, look, if you're in year two and three and you're ready to kind of start scaling because your fulfillment's figured out, you got some good systems and processes, whatever, like, now it's time to move on to the next thing. You had to figure out how to hire people, how to train people, how to build systems and processes and do fulfillment.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out all those things without any prior training, guess what? You can figure out the next thing.
Exactly.
So don't sell yourself short. Just say, I've taken it as far as I can. No, you haven't. You haven't, because you haven't tried to continue to bring in more in-house and control everything that you have the ability to control.
And give it the time that it needs to actually know if it's the direction or not. Like, to be fair, the guy that I talked to on Clubhouse, man, he's an accountant. Like, he wants to do accounting. He wants to lead the accounting team.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to run the sales and marketing team. But he also probably doesn't want to have a partner. I didn't dig that deep with him. But even if you don't want a partner, like, there's probably great leaders and marketers that you could bring into your organization, work out some profit sharing, get them to buy in on the long-term vision, get them to buy in on the mission that you're taking them on with you for your business, like, what you're trying to solve in the world, what you're trying to create for your personal lives. Like, get them to buy in on it, and they'll probably end up being a great marketer or a great sales leader within your organization. Like, get that person. You're probably gonna have to go through some people, but when you find someone that's like, man, they're really buying into your vision, they're really like good natural abilities on sales skills or whatever, I'd rather build something internally with that guy, because then I can make sure that my sales team, rather than outsourcing it, they are going to really sell based on our core values.
Yeah.
They're going to really sell based on the mission that we have at hand with our business, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to just try and get a damn deal to get a commission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody wants to get paid and make, you know, especially when you're a commission job. But like, I'm like, find that guy, man. And I did tell him that. I was like, dude, even if you don't think the sales is your thing, like, you're not great at it, it's not even what you want to do, like, get someone in your organization and build it, man. It's going to take time, but it's going to be so much more money ahead by doing it in-house versus outsourcing it.
And I think that brings up another good point, that if you have a business and you don't have any sales reps for your business, that's something that I would think about. Now, this might not go well for 100% of entrepreneurs, but there is a group of you that are listening right now that may have a service or a product that could benefit from having somebody else focus on that full time. Mm-hmm. Because your attention is split between operating the business and doing a little bit of sales, your energy and enthusiasm isn't the same on the sales call, because you're so in the weeds over here on your business. You're getting pulled in so many different directions. It's a little sporadic. But if that's somebody's main focus is just to do sales and that's all that they do, they're going to add a little bit more energy and enthusiasm to each call because that's their livelihood. Maybe you're already making $5,000 a month or $10,000 a month with your business. And so, yes, you would like it to grow, but you don't have the same urgency. That's not, you can get by right now. That sales rep that you bring internally, they can't get by unless they're making sales, unless they're making commissions and making money. So you need to put somebody in a situation where they have the ability to do that. Like if you own a, let's say a printing, you do print shirts or clothes or whatever. If you don't have an outside sales rep going around from business to business to business to business, looking at the businesses in the local area, free leads, right? Which is huge if you can get leads at zero cost. But then you get that individual knocking on each one of those businesses' doors. You know, maybe send them with a care package and say, hey, here's five t-shirts that we printed with your logo on it. We're just down the street or we're a couple miles down the road. We would love to earn your business if you ever want to print apparel for your company. Right. Like, dude, I'm telling you.
Document everything too, like, because you'll find out over time, over a year, like how many times do we knock a door before we get, you know, a really hot lead, and then how many times does that hot lead turn into a sell or a conversion? Because once you start understanding all of those things, then you bring more people right into that, right? Like, because they got to understand the opportunity. The first sales guy is always the hardest one. You've got to sell them the hardest on like what the opportunity is, because you're still figuring it out too. Like when we started our sales team down here, I mean, we got 10 guys all making well over six figures now, some of them in the mid six figures, right? And it's like it wasn't like that in the beginning. It was all scraping just to make 100, 80, 75, right? But now we figured it out over time, more time. Now new guys come into that and they're like, "Ooh, that guy's making $100,000 because he's willing to put in the extra time and make the extra dials, and he's taking these extra leads, or he's hitting the database in his downtime." Like they are creating an opportunity for the next guy that comes in to that culture, right? And then when a guy steps up and starts making $200,000, guess what? Those eyeballs of those people coming in or below him are like, "Well, shit."
That's it.
He can do that too. That's the power of having that in-house too. Like, you don't see that stuff when you're virtual or you're outsourced, you know?
Yeah, when you're seeing what other people are capable of and you know, you're like, holy cow, I can make X, right? And automatically, you're not having to sell the opportunity because the opportunity sells itself because there's proof, right? And so what Kel's talking about is when you initially hire, there's really no proof of concept. You can't really say, our sales reps make X amount a year because you just don't really know what's going to happen. You know, with something like that. But, you know, I mean, let's take a look at like roofing contractors, right? Back in the day, did they have sales reps? No, they would just, you know, hey, I'm a roofing company. I do my ads. And if you need a new roof, you'll call us and we'll come out and quote you. Nowadays, you know, there's roofing contractors that have sales teams that go door to door after storms and where they know there's going to be damages on roofs. And knock on, hey, let's see if we can get your insurance to cover that roof. And now these guys are doing tens of millions of dollars a year.
Just the reps, some of them are taking home a mil.
Some of the sales reps are making, you know, $500,000 to $1 million a year. And some of the top people, I mean, I bet even the bottom people do, you know, 100, 200 grand a year.
In so terms when they get a new guy knocking doors that's like chasing, you know, $300,000-$500,000 a year, he comes in, he sees a guy doing it, and what he's doing to do that,
he just knows now it's possible. He just needs to know it's possible. Like, show me what really is achievable, and if it's big enough, I'm gonna be motivated as shit. I'm gonna say, okay, well, that guy's doing $500,000. I can do that because I think I'm actually better than that individual. If he can do it, I can do it, or if she can do it, I can do it, right? And so that industry blew up over the last, whatever, 5 or 10 years because they've incorporated sales teams into their company. They're not just a roofing business. That's just not what they do. They're a sales company that actually sells roofing, right? And so you look at it as a contractor, that's the fulfillment side, but they're now far more dedicated on the sales side because they understand that's where the money is. And then they just do the fulfillment on the back end. So it's kind of, it's a little bit of a hybrid of a sales team or a sales company, leadership company, because that's what they teach, sales and leadership, and build these people up. And then they go out there, hit the doors, and then the revenue comes in. The revenue came from the sales, not because they bought a $5 logo. and said, now we're a roofing contractor.
Yeah.
They took the time to develop these human beings, get them out in the field, show them exactly what's possible, and now it's blown up their businesses, and it gives other people an opportunity to live a great life, you know? So again, it doesn't matter what industry or what business you're in. Think about unique ways that you can add a sales team into that environment. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be a mechanic shop and it might be a little bit slow. Maybe you're not slow. Maybe you don't need a sales team because you're already super busy and you're well established. Cool. If that's you. But if you're year one, maybe you hire a salesperson that goes company to company like UPS, knocking on UPS's door. Hey, we would love to service all your trucks. Or FedEx, we'd love to service your trucks. Or, you know, wherever you could go that has fleets of vehicles, you know, you can go knock, have a salesperson knock on those doors and say, hey, here we are. We would love to be your first option to service those, that fleet of yours.
Couple points to make, too. If you are the owner of your company, you are wearing that sales hat, okay, and you're wearing all these hats, and your mission is to eventually step away from all the sales calls, right?
Yeah.
You better be the best damn salesman you can be, because the person that you do bring in to replace you that you want to be your leader, like, you're kind of their leader, right? You're kind of developing that. And so I've seen too many people, man. They're just like, oh, I just want to get off the phone, or I just don't want to be one out knocking doors anymore. And so they're just like, they're over it. They're burned out. Well, guess what? The person that you're bringing in to try and replace you sees that.
Yeah.
You've got, I don't care if you are burned out. Like, you have got to be the best absolute salesperson in your organization to develop the best salesperson. If they can take it and run with it and become even better, awesome. That's what you want, right? But another point is you can't starve them either. Like, you can't just, like, I've seen so many business owners in startup phase where they're like, and I wish I would have talked to this accountant more about that. Like, give them the opportunity, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, would you rather be making, like, you know, $50 on 5,000 customers, or would you rather be making $80 on 100 customers, right? Like, because, you know, you're trying to squeeze the sales guy to make sure your margins are there. Like, understand your margins, make a smart play, but make sure you pay them well, really give them the opportunity, because that's where they're going to run with it as well. Mm-hmm. Don't try and starve them just for the profit margin right now. Look at the long term. Look at how much profit you'll be making off of it being multiplied by the number of sales.
And when you first start thinking about maybe potentially hiring a sales rep in-house, look, you know, I would say do something like this and just let the individual know. Just say, look, you know, we don't have any sales reps in-house currently. We're looking for a good sales rep to help build the company and grow the company. It's a great opportunity because you'll be the first one, and hopefully we can have two or three people underneath you that you can manage, you know, kind of, again, projecting out the goal over the next maybe 3 to 5 years. But let them know at the end, look, we're going to give this a 90-day run.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pay you X amount per week, you know, $750 a week salary, or, you know, or $500 a week salary at first, plus maybe some commission. So let's say, for instance, it's $500 a week salary, right? And then they can earn commission on top of that. You're putting about $6,000 at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're just not really performing and it's not really bringing in a whole lot, or if it's starting to, and you're starting to see a trend, upward trend, because usually when you get an initial sales rep, it's not like sales are just going to jump out of the gate, and it's going to take them time to figure it out too, because they're new to the position and it's a new position in your company. So they're going to kind of be the guinea pig, and they're going to have to figure it out. Give them enough, you know, time to see what value it can really bring your business. But you can let them know, you know, like when we hire people, you know, I say, hey, look, you know, we'll take a review in 30 days to see how you're performing. And then kind of go from there. If you're performing well, you'll get your dollar bump after 30 days. If you're not, we're going to have to talk about, you know, some of the areas that you're lacking, and then maybe give you another 30 days to fix those areas before you get that bump.
Right.
And if they don't fix it in that next 30, then they're gone.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
It's not
and it's just not a good fit. Right.
Right.
And you can approach it that way. Look, I'm trying to build this into my company. We're going to see if it works, but I need somebody that's a hustler, that's a go-getter, that really wants to make it work.
Right.
Let's give this thing an honest effort for the next 90 days. Let's see what it's capable of. And then we could talk about a potential salary raise or commission raise, or, you know, whatever it is at that point. But again, there's so many different areas of business. Imagine you focusing on marketing and then hiring a sales rep in-house to where you're doing the marketing and you've got somebody else doing sales. Now you've got two things that you're controlling in-house, but you're only having to focus on one new thing.
Right.
You're letting the other individual kind of help you figure that out. So it doesn't, you don't have to go into it with, hey, I promise you, you're going to have a job for the next decade or 10 years, even if it doesn't work out. You could be honest with them, be upfront with them. Some people were going to say, I totally get it. I understand. And I definitely want the opportunity to grow within your business and see what the future holds. Right. And so you're not putting large amounts of money at risk, but you're still giving it some effort.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really the whole point of this podcast is we would nudge you in the direction of trying to give, you know, get a internal sales team if you have a service or product that you're selling. And secondly, give it enough time to show whether it's going to be valuable, right? And so we just think that that could be a big thing in your business. When we first started selling a tax and accounting services, we had, I think, two reps, and I think we were getting like 10 grand a week or something like that, right? $500,000 a year. And, you know, last year's 10 million, right? So, and that's over the course of, you know, the last 6 or 7 years, right? And that's because we don't have two sales reps anymore.
Right.
We have 10 sales reps now, right? And we've had the last, you know, 6 or 7 years of going out and hustling and getting more referral partners and affiliates,
right?
Sending over, you know, potential clients, right? And so will it blow your business out of the water and you're just going to be rich next year? Probably not.
Right.
But over the next 5 years, if it actually works, you can have 3 or 4 reps underneath. And they each have their little section if you're a very local-based business. But if you're nationwide, you have unlimited potential,
right,
with a sales team. You can grow it to 10. You can grow it to 20 or whatever it is, right? Just depending on what you're selling and whether it's nationwide or local. But
your ceiling isn't so low anymore.
Yeah.
When you get your own team in-house and you start getting it dialed.
Imagine us just being in the office right now and let's say we did own a company that we weren't, you know, calling people. But what if we had 2 or 3 people out in the community knocking on businesses' doors, yeah, trying to kick up leads,
right?
Kick up deals, kick up new clients, right? We would be in the office operating businesses and doing what we do without having to take extra time out of our day. We're still getting attention. We're still getting in front of people. We're still letting people know that we exist,
right?
And so there's definitely a whole lot of power in that. We prefer to use the phones because it's, you hang up with one person, you're, you know,
back on with another
10 digits away from the next contact, right? Rather than, you know, 2 mile drive to the next contact and they might be at lunch, right? Or whatever. So that's how we prefer to do it because we are nationwide and we have the ability to do it that way. But again, think about bringing sales in-house. Think about bringing marketing in-house, really, because I know that if you're listening to this, you're doubling down on self-improvement. You're trying to find, you got your ears, you know, over to us trying to figure out ways that we can give you information to grow your business, right? You're looking for that nugget or that gem that can be that thing that helps you scale your business over the next 2 or 3 years. And you have to go into it like that because if you're going into it thinking you're going to get rich in a year, it's just not going to happen. Too many people overestimate what they can accomplish in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade,
right?
And so let's think long term. Let's think about really where you're wanting to be in the next 3 to 5 years. And if you feel as though that, yes, I would love to have sales teams, I would love to control my own marketing, then that starts today because it takes time to do that. So if that's what your goal is down the road, then today's the perfect day to start trying to, again, get the wheels turning and thinking about how you can do that. Could you get somebody in-house in your office calling all the local businesses if you sell apparel? Could you get, you see what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
So there's definitely ways to do it. It's just a matter of putting a, you know, again, a little hustle behind the muscle and be willing to spend a little bit money now and go backwards for a second in order to set yourself up for the big tee up for the big win, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Right.
So it's all strategy, right?
I agree, man.
Even playing any sort of game, football, basketball, there's strategy to it. In business, guess what? There's strategy to it. And this is a strategy that we've taken a decade to learn, but we're trying to give it to you guys to shorten that learning curve and let you guys know what you really should be focused on so that you can hit some of those next levels, because we've hit the next levels after we really started owning these specific roles in our businesses, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, now we have the ability to scale as slow or as fast as we like. Our credit repair, we can dial it up to 2,000 leads a week if we want to continue to grow the sales team. We can drop it down to 500 leads a week if we wanted to make the sales team smaller.
Right.
So we have full control to scale that business as slow or as fast as we'd like, right? And there's power in that. And so, again, that's something that a lot of people wish that they had.
Right.
Like, just to be able to put a little couple more bucks over here and then all of a sudden way more leads come in. But it's taken a long time to get to that point. But now we could do it, and all the pain, all the 40 grand lost over there, 20 grand with VaynerMedia on the athlete, the events, all of that stuff led to where we're at today. And so don't regret any of it, because now we 100% know the right thing is to control what we have the ability to control. And two of the biggest things that you should be able to control: your sell, your marketing, your sales, and your fulfillment. Anything really outside of that, for the most part, you can outsource. I wouldn't really necessarily outsource social media stuff, because there's a lot of people, hey, let me handle your social media. You know, people have reached out to us and asked if they want us to hire them to handle social media. And I've said, well, no, you know, I really like staying close to the community, and connecting with the people that vibe with us. You know, they're vibing with us, not you.
Well, you know, it just goes back to the episode we had a couple episodes ago about building your personal brand. Like, people are wanting to do business with you if you're the personal brand. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure you could have someone on the team or outsource, you know, whatever, like maybe some repurposing of the content, but you need to be the one creating that content.
Look at First Form with Andy.
Yeah.
He can outsource all of the product development if he wanted, but he chose to build a facility where he can do it all in-house, and he has the ability to control it. Does he control his own marketing? Yeah. They hire people to go out there, and they have the ability to hire more people that are influencers, and they could scale it as much or as little as they want, because they figured out how to do their own marketing, right?
Yeah.
He's not hiring a marketing company to do First Form's marketing. They do it all in-house. All their email marketing, all that's done in-house. All the fulfillment, that's done in-house.
Dude, he's a great example.
All the sales, that's all done in-house.
He's controlled as much as he can in-house and not outsourced to build the freaking
anybody that's on his team is a First Form representative, right? If we became First Form representatives, then we're a part of First Form, right? Yeah. So to speak. So, or Legionnaire is what they call it.
Right.
And so you're an outside sales rep for the company.
Right.
Basically what we were just talking about, sending people out into your local community to get eyeballs on your business.
Right.
That's an outside sales rep bringing business into your company, but you pay them. You know, it's not a third party company that you're paying. You're paying an individual to be a representative of your company.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anything else, bro?
Nah, man. I think that's good, dude.
I think we covered it.
I hope for the right people that listen to this episode, that maybe are on the fence of like, man, maybe I should just outsource. Maybe I should just, you know, they're just being insecure, unsure. Like, you know, like, dude. You know, take the risk on you, man. The best risk is always on you.
I'll tell you this much right now. There's only going to be about 1% of you that actually follow through with the last few podcasts that we dropped. And that 1% in 2 or 3 years will be running circles around the other 99%.
Yeah,
personal branding thing, I already know for a fact, we can give you guys the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to run the play, which nobody wants to do, right? Nobody wants to take the time 2 or 3 years and be like, Kel, if you did this, this, and this, in 10 years, you'd be worth $100 million. It's just kind of like, 10 years? You know, they're thinking about the time rather than the potential if they invested the time, right? And so even with this podcast, we're telling you exactly what we've learned and what we've done and what works for us on the last episode of Personal Branding and now sales and marketing in terms of what should be in-house and what should be outsourced. This is all stuff that we're doing here. This is all stuff that made us 8-figure entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because it makes you feel good and it sounds cool and it's cool to listen to, because it gives you that motivation that you need for that day to get through it. But at the end of the day, it's really about applying this information that we're talking about. And we can give you guys the game, because we already know that only 1% of you are even going to listen.
Yeah.
There might be 5 or 10 of you that are actually going to start building your personal brand. There's only going to be about 5 or 10 of you that's really going to start having your wheels turn to figure out how I can bring internal sales reps into my business. How can I add that? Where would that fit in my business, and how would that look? Marketing, same thing. There's only going to be a select few of you doing it, right? The personal branding thing kind of goes with the marketing one that we just did last week. But again, The reason why successful people can give the game away because they know people don't have the discipline to actually take the time in the 2 or 3 years and run the play, because they're going to get frustrated, they're going to get upset in month 2, month 3, month 6. Yeah, it's a good idea at first, but it's going to feel like you're pounding your head against the wall for a period of time. You're going to say, is this really going to be worth it? You know? And yes, it will be, but I get it. You don't have the experience and the data that we have to say yes for certain it's worth it, but we can tell you for certain that it's worth it.
Right.
So again, do what you want with the information. I don't want it just to be a rah-rah, like motivational inspiration. Cool. Sounds awesome. Now I'm ready to get to work for just today.
Right.
Like your will should be turning where you're putting information on paper. Your will should be turning to the point where you're figuring out how you can start taking action on some of this stuff, opposed to, you know, just getting a warm fuzzy by listening to us talk about some of the stuff that we've done. So the value is not in the 60 minutes that you just spent with us. The value is going to be what you do with this information that you got over the last 60 minutes over the next 1 to 2 years. So I know for a fact there will be people that these last two episodes will change the scope and life of their business and their personal life, excuse me, and their business life within 2 to 3 years. Guaranteed there will be a handful of people. Now, here's how I know that, because we were at a Gary Vee event and he talked about this.
We were those guys, man.
Stuff, like just looking and saying like, okay, he said, do that. And he even said, I already know the majority of you guys won't even do it.
Yeah.
You know, but when we find a piece of information that we think could be valuable to us, we put action behind it.
Yeah.
We then went home and hired videographers. We then went, we started a podcast with, and then here we are.
We posted, you know, some 3 years, shitty ass videos.
Shitty videos. And here we are 3 years later, yeah, you know, kicking ass and taking names.
It's
so
crazy.
Again,
it's only been a
it
few
takes
years.
2 to 3 years to really start seeing some of this stuff unfold and really show its true worth and, yeah, value. And so.
Yeah, that was actually 2018. It was called Agent 2021 because he was only going to do it for
January,
4 years.
January, yeah, 2018. So, yeah, it was exactly 3 years,
yep,
ago.
Yeah.
So, and here we are 3 years later, almost 2 years into a podcast and an Instagram page.
Yeah.
Because we took the advice and actually ran the play.
Dude, we weren't even the type of people who should have been at that event. It was called Agent 2021 because they were
real estate agents,
mortgage agents, insurance agents, yep, and I can't remember what was the fourth agent. But we just wanted to go and connect more with AJ and Gary because we've been talking to them and their sister Liz, and,
yeah,
like we're like, dude, we just have a feeling we need to be there, right?
Yeah.
And dude, we had some takeaways from that helped our business tremendously, you know. And so,
but that time that we spent there was valuable because we did something, yeah, after the fact.
Well, we wanted to get Andy's business too.
Yeah, that's true. He was
we
there
were chasing
speaking.
Andy a little bit, and we heard he was launching an entrepreneur program. We didn't know it was Arte. They,
yeah,
hadn't said what it was going to be.
Yeah.
At. We were just letting him know, like, dude, we could be a huge accounting piece for that. For that model, right?
And we,
like,
cornered him in the bathroom.
Yeah, with his shirt
on. We followed
up.
Him. We saw him go to the bathroom, and, yeah, we're like, there he is, dude. It's our time.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go into the bathroom. And we walk into the bathroom, and it's like a two-stall bathroom. It was,
yeah,
super
it was,
small.
It was awkward, bro.
We walk in. It was awkward because he had his shirt off.
Yeah,
he was
like, oh, whoops,
he's dude. Like, it's in Florida.
He was super cool, yeah.
Yeah, it was in Florida, so it was super humid, right? And so he was going into the bathroom to hurry and change his shirt because he had been sweating because of how humid it was before he went and got on stage. And we're like, hey, we hear you're going to start an entrepreneurship program. We own an accounting company. You should send us those leads. He's like a little awkward. I said, yeah, email me, andy@firstfloor.com.
Yeah.
Never heard back.
No.
You know,
we sent him several emails.
We followed
but
up
we joined
with
that
him,
entrepreneur
but,
program when,
yeah,
it came out.
But then it ended up being Arte Syndicate, yeah, and we understood why he wasn't really doing the, you know, adding extra pieces like referring, you know, those people out because they were, you know, not necessarily there to be sold, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, that's taking a step outside our comfort zone, mm-hmm, booking tickets to Miami. We flew out there.
Keeping an open
cornered,
mind, willing to take the action.
Cornered a big bull, Andy Frisella, in a bathroom. You, yeah, know, he's a big boy.
I even emailed him
and
once.
We
and
stayed
I was
uncomfortable.
Like, I was,
you know,
like, hey, it's me, dude. Again, the guy that cornered you in the bathroom
in
Miami,
yeah,
with your shirt off, thinking that would get his,
yeah,
attention. Like, yeah, you fuckers.
Yeah.
But he still didn't reply.
Yeah. We're still waiting for the reply, Andy. That should be in 2018 or around,
yeah,
January, February.
January.
Yeah. So, but again, if you take a look at some of this stuff, right, We got that information 3 years ago, and look where we're at because we actually did something with it. Yeah. We were willing to do things that other people weren't willing to do. We weren't even, an accounting firm wasn't supposed to be at that event, but we went anyways, right? Just because Kel had a feeling like, I think that we need to go to this event. He listened to his intuition. We had no business being there, but Kel had an intuition that we had to be at that event. We went, and that's the one takeaway that we had. Hire a videographer. Control your own social media content and double down on that. Yeah. And that's exactly what
Gary
Stripe
said. He's just do it for 2 years. You'll thank me later. And we're like, let's fucking do that.
Yeah. So, that's what we're trying to tell you guys to do because I think eventually.
We're just paying it forward.
Yeah. It worked. Yeah. It works. Yeah. So we were told to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, a bunch of people in that crowd didn't do shit after that event. Didn't pay it no attention. But we did. We took it to heart. We came home. Within 2 months, we had a videographer on staff that we didn't know what the hell we were going to do with.
Right.
You know, pointed at me, dude, I got something cool to say, I think. And then when the camera points at you, you're like, you know, it's like your brain starts glitching out because it's like game time.
Tell the videographer, you better be good at editing, bro.
Yeah, fucking good luck. Have that video ready in 2 months. Get all the ums and ahs out of there, right? So a lot of the stuff that we've done has been uncomfortable and, you know, we didn't know how it would pan out, but here we are today and it's all panned out. And so, again, all we're doing is taking information, applying it. Now that we've applied it and it's worked, all we're doing is just kind of giving the game to you guys and hope that you really actually, you know, put it to good use rather than just, again, getting a warm fuzzy by hearing some badasses talk.
So. Absolutely. Like I said, we're paying it forward to you guys. Make sure you're paying it forward as well, man. Go like the podcast, rate it, review it, share it with people that need to hear this, man. We really are just trying to help people. So
absolutely.
Appreciate you guys.
So, guys, as always, take care, kick ass, take care, and kick ass.